It's so good to see so many of you and visitors from Kellyville. So good to see you. But most important, be still for the presence of the Lord. The Lord is here. When the Lord is here, His presence, His power, His glory is here. Do you believe that the Lord is here? Let us bow before Him and pray. Lord, we thank You because this is not just people gathering, but You are among us. And it is our deepest desire to know You, to hear You. So Lord, speak to each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the past, I've talked about the first 8 books in the Old Testament. I talk about from Genesis all the way down. And we mentioned about all these books like pictures, one by one, following the other. We can see how God have chosen the Israelites, His people, and how God has saved them and sanctify them, transform them, walk with them, taught them, give them His laws, and lead them into the promised land, to possess the land. So this story is really, when I look at it, it's like a Christian, how he got saved. Now we know God has chosen us as well. He saved us, He sanctified us for Him. And He transformed us in our daily lives. He taught us, He gave us His words, just like what happened to the Israelites. So the story of the Israelites is very much similar to us today. So I hope this will encourage young Christians when you all read Testament. You can see not just story about Israelites, it's a story about ourselves as well. And then we moved on talking about in the book of Joshua, in the book of Judges, we talk about how the Israelites experience victory. They become conqueror in the land when they trust and obey, and how they failed again and again when they walk in their own ways. Now, today, it's similar. Whenever Christians trust and obey, we experience victory in Christ. But whenever we go in our own way, we experience failures. It seems enemies, we are not free. We are in bondage under enemies when we give ourselves not listening to the Lord. So the story of Israelites is very much a mirror telling us, reflecting our lives before the Lord. So I hope this will encourage you to go deeper and dig into the Old Testament. All these spiritual lessons is related to you and me. Now today, last time I talked about Hannah. Today I'm going to talk about 1 Samuel. The book is 1 Samuel, but I'm going to focus on another person. Last time is Hannah. This time I'm going to talk about Eli. Now the background is, as mentioned before, is just like in the time of Judges. There's one key verse, which is, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That means in the times of Judges, whenever they are in trouble, they cry out to God, God, help me, just like today. We Christians, whenever we have trouble, oh Lord, help me, I've got exam. Oh Lord, I need a job, help me. So whenever we are in distress, in trouble, oh, we ask God to come and help. But when the trouble is gone, we go back in the same way. We actually, Judges, they appeared for a short time in a certain area. What they need is a king that can rule at all time in every part of the land of Israel, or we need a king in our life, ruling us all the time. We need a king guiding us in every area, every part of our life. We need a king. Jesus needs to be our king. So this is a story about how Israelites got their king. And this is also a story how the Lord should be king in our life. Now, let's look deeper. Affliction of Hannah. Last time, what did I share? Last time, we talked about Hannah, all her suffering, her pain. What we can learn from Hannah. She went to pray before the Lord, and during this praying period before the Lord, her heart, her soul purifies. And in her heart, she magnifies the Lord. And during this magnifying the Lord, he can do everything. I am nothing. Then she put her attention focusing on the need of the Lord. Then she realized there should be a Nazarite, because a Nazarite means total dedication, separated himself for the Lord. There needs to be someone separating himself for the Lord. And that Nazarite can bring out a king. So if you never dedicate yourself before the Lord, how can fully committed and come and bow before the Lord as a Nazarite, how can God rule in your life? If you are not submitting, accepting him as Lord. So Nazarite means someone separate himself, come and bow before the Lord. Let the Lord be the king. So when before there's king authority, kingship, there must be a Nazarite. So affliction of Hannah is going to bring out a king. But today we are going to talk about Eli. Eli was the priest at that time. Well, in a way, he's got affliction as well. He has got suffering or pain. Because on one day, he lost two sons on one day. And not only that, he lost his life. His neck was broken on that day. And he lost his life. He served the Lord for 40 years as a judge. So serving the Lord 40 years. And these things happened to him. We have to ask, why? What happened to Eli? Why was somebody serving God in the temple? He was a leader. Why would something happen to him like this? What happened? What can we learn from him? We can learn from Hannah, but what can we learn from Eli? So before we have to go ask ourselves what are the lessons we can learn, we have to ask what happened first. So we look at the Bible in chapter 1, verse 3. Now we see it mentioned about Eli and his two sons. In chapter 1, verse 3, also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. So remember these two names. These are the priests, the sons of the priest, Eli. They were in serving the Lord in Shiloh. So we know these three names, Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. So let's look what happened next. Now the sons of Eli, they were corrupt. In other Bibles, they translated as they are wicked, they are ungodly. They did not know the Lord. And what did they do? When people come and offered a sacrifice, they'll ask their servants, using a flesh hook in their hand, when the meat was boiling, they thrust the hook into the pan and take out the meat. Why? If we jump to the verse 15, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. Obviously, they really have a taste for roast beef, isn't it? They don't like boil. After boiling, all the flavor's gone, maybe. But that's how they treat the sacrifice of the Lord. They want to take, they have a position there, they have power there, but they abuse their power. They make use of their position to do whatever they want. And if the man said to them, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. But he would then ask, no, but you must give it now. If not, I will take it by force. Now you see how their reaction. Therefore, the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord. For men abhor the offering of the Lord. They disrespect, they despise the offering to the Lord. They think it's their own. They can abuse their power like that. So this is the sin of these two young men. Are we treating the offering of God like that? Think about ourselves as well. How do we treat our Lord? Let's go further down. Not only they sin against the offering. Now Eli was very old and he heard everything about his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women. They committed fornication with the women. They have sexual relationship with these women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Again, they abused their power. They came as if they served the Lord, but not really. They are satisfying their own flesh. They are satisfying their lust. So, is it the way to treat the Lord like this? They don't seem to have fear for the Lord. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings with all the people. Now the father knows about this. Eli know about this. But say, no, my son, it is not a good report. It seems that whom he only cared about, is it a good report? What do people think? Now, they should ask, what would God think? Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't just care about how do people think about me. What do people think? Is that how we serve the Lord? What would people think about me? What do people think about my preaching? What do people think about my music? What do people think about my teaching? What's the report? We are so care about people, how people look at me. If we are like that, be careful, brothers and sisters. When we serve the Lord, we are focusing to please Him, not try to please everyone but God. No, my sons, for it's not a good report that I hear. You make the lost people transgress. So it's not just their sin. They are stumbling other people, stumbling God's people. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed. They didn't care. Now, this is another response. They did not heed. Even though their father reminded them, no, it's no good. But the father has a fault as well. He shouldn't just say, no. He should act. He should stop them. Even though he can't change their behavior, but at least Eli should stop his sons. Continuing like that, stop their ministry. He should do something. He should discipline his son. Well, discipline, we don't like the word discipline nowadays. We say, well, we should love. But he should discipline his son. Without discipline, they continue like that. And what is the consequence? The Lord decide to kill them because they continue like this. Brothers and sisters, this is not a short time. According to the Bible, Eli died at the age of 98, but he has been the judges in Israel for 40 years. So 40 years he has been serving as judge in Israel. The Lord has been patient with them for a very, very long time. They have plenty of time to repent. So we will say, "Hi, the Lord, punishment. Lord has a heavy hand on this family. Why? Actually, the Lord has given them plenty of chances to return, to repent, and yet they heed not to the discipline. And what happened next? So God sent a man. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what is going to happen. Thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?" That refers to in Aaron's family, in Aaron's house. Okay, so the priest's family. "Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me?" So all this privilege, all this glory, all this honor was given to him. Brothers and sisters, we can serve God. Don't take it as a light matter. The Lord has chosen us, given us a chance to serve him. The Lord has called them, but the Lord has called us to serve him as well. All this privilege that we can come before the table, all this privilege that we can pray to him. Do you take this into consideration? You have a privilege to pray before the Lord. Do you pray before the Lord? You have a privilege to lead people to God. Have you ever taken this privilege to serve him? This is not a little matter. Do we treasure? Do we feel this is a blessing upon me? What a great privilege. Or do you take it as lightly? Oh, I did not ask for this. I did not choose to serve you. We Christians should feel what a great blessing or privilege for us to, that we can come and serve the Lord. Yet he did not have such a thankful heart. And what happens? "And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire?" So the Lord also provide them, give them what they need, provision for them. We Christians, we receive provision from the Lord as well. His daily caring, his daily love, daily guidance. Do we feel anything about that? Do we value, do we treasure how God has leading us day by day? Can we see that? Does that ever come to your mind? How blessed, what a blessing come to us every day. The Lord has been showing mercy and grace to us. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me?" Why? Why do you kick at my sacrifice? Why do you despise? So ask ourselves, how do we treat God? God has given us all this privilege, providing all our need, day by day, every day, so faithful. How do we treat our God? "To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Therefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Are we living a life honoring God or despise God? Before the affliction, before the judgment comes, how are we living our life today? Honoring God, despising God? If I put a scale, this is honoring God, this is despising God, where are you now? Does your, how you speak to people honoring God, how you live your life honoring God, or how we live our life despise God? Going our own way, as if there are no king in our life, as if there are no king in this universe. How are we living our life? Don't just, oh, Eli, it's your fault. Oh, Eli's son, how bad they are. Think about yourself. This is a mirror. How are we living our life? Despising him or honoring him? Let's go further down. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, and there will not be an old man in your house, and you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God has does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your hearts, and all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. And that now this is a sharp sign to you that they will come upon your two sons Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them together. And indeed, later on, we can see this happen. And in the last end, in the last part, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver. Sorry, I missed that. 35. Then I will raise up myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before me, before my anointed forever. So God will raise up somebody to serve him. So if we are not faithful in our part, if we despise God, then we do not deserve to serve him. If we despise God, then God can raise somebody up to replace him. And indeed, his great-great-grandson, Abiathar, in the beginning he was serving faithful to David, but later on he was not faithful to Solomon, and Solomon sent him home. So this actually comes true later on in the Old Testament. So let's look. Now in chapter 3, God was raising another vessel, Samuel. Now I would like you to look at the time when Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. That means the Lord was not speaking to Eli. I have nothing to talk to you. You are not my friend, something like that. The Lord was, the word was rare. And there was no widespread revelation. The Lord does not spoke to Eli. And Eli was no longer, he can't listen to the Lord anymore. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down at his place, when his eyes has begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Not his eyes and his ears, they can't hear. He becomes useless before the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, did the Lord talk to you? Did the Lord speak to you recently? Can you see the Lord is around you, speaking to you? Being a priest, serving the Lord, we must have a good connection with our Master. If we can't hear, something wrong. If we can't see, something wrong. How can we serve our Master if we can't hear him? How can we serve our Master if we can't see him? So all this is a sign telling us he was abandoned by the Lord. Continue in chapter 4. Let's go to the next part. And in chapter 4, it says there was a battle. Israel took the Ark of God there. They think if we took the Ark of God with us, then we'll become sure win. But in fact, they lose the battle. And in verse 17, it says, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they are dead. So the words of the Lord came true. And when this message was sent to Eli, what happened? And he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward of the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he has judged Israel 40 years. So on the same day, the father Eli and the two sons, they died as well. So such a severe hand judgment came upon them. Now, what can we learn from this? Can we know how to serve God? Now, before we go on, I would like to point out one thing. A Christian journey is not about, the main thing is not about what you do. Just like, oh, I want to be a Christian. Step one, if you are a true Christian, go to baptize. So people went to baptism. But after baptism, what's next? Are there any step two? Are there any step three? Sometimes people after baptism, oh, I seem to have no more goals ahead. What should I do? Oh, reading Bible, changing my life. Oh, that's such a big step. Oh, I would rather stay at step one then. As if being a Christian is climbing ladder, one step, two step, three step, as if you are struggling all by yourself climbing a ladder. Or if you are determined, you can climb higher. Or if you want to serve the Lord or going to be a preacher, you must be climbing the ladder to the top part of the ladder. So people may think Christian journey is about you struggling to climb a ladder. No, that's not true. A Christian journey is walking with the Lord. It's a relationship. It's not you are struggling all by yourself. Because this is a relationship, it's more about not what you do, but who you are. And your relationship with Him. If you are sinful, how can you relate to your master? So He will teach us on this journey. So it's not, our Christian growth is not marked by doing this, doing this, doing this. As if you ask, if I ask Rachel, what is marriage life? She may tell, marriage life is going home, cooking dinner, washing the dishes, cleaning the house. What will happen the next day? Doing the same thing. So marriage life is not about doing cleaning, washing, cooking, cleaning, washing, cooking, cleaning, washing, cooking. Oh, Christian life is reading Bible prayer, reading Bible prayer, reading Bible prayer, reading Bible prayer, serve. So in between, what's happened in between? Oh, if you ask Rachel, I talked to my husband. Oh, we have good time together. We shared. We shared about our life. It's about relationship, isn't it? It's not about what you do. It's about a relationship, how you build that relationship up. A lot of talking, a lot of understanding, a lot of caring there. It's about who you are. It's not about what you do. If I ask AB, how's Rachel doing? Oh, she's good. What did she do? Oh, she's cooking. What did she do? She's cleaning. What did she do? She's doing stuff all around. No, it's not just doing thing. It's about the life together, sharing life together. Similarly, Christian journey is like a marriage life. It's not more about who you are and your relationship with the Lord. It's not about doing this, achieving this, achieving this. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you into the truth. So I want to tell you, those who are baptized, Holy Spirit is in you and will guide you into the truth. He will guide you how to read the Bible. He will guide you how to serve Him. He will guide you day by day. He will guide you how to live for the Lord. He will guide you how to study before the Lord. He will guide you in your family life. He will guide you how to serve the Lord. He will guide you how to listen to your parents. He will guide you how to forsake your old habits, bad habits. He will guide you. He will encourage you. And again, just like driving lessons, I'm not giving you a handbook how to drive. Do it, read it, do it by yourself. And the people driving, oh, turn left, okay, turn right, oh, okay. No, an instructor next to you. So it's about a relationship. Serving the Lord is not one man struggle. It's listening to the one who lives inside you. So that's why the most important thing I would say is about who you are and your relationship to the Lord. So the most important thing is you can listen to the Lord. So in Exodus, it talks about when a priest starts to serve the Lord, they put blood on his ear first. Why? Because serving, first, most important thing is you can listen. And then it's your hand, how you serve. And then it's your foot, where you go. Before you go anywhere, before you do anything, listen first. So ear is important in serving. Listening, because it's about relationship. And the second part, is Isaiah. It talks about the Lord God has given me. Isaiah has given us, has taught Isaiah, the Lord has taught Isaiah how to serve. The tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. Oh, we should learn how to speak for the Lord. We have a preacher training course. How to preach. The tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. Oh, the preaching course is how to speak. But a word in the season to him who is weary, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So before you can speak, you need to learn how to listen. And not just listen. One day, morning by morning, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. So if you are rebellious and turn away, if you are not listening, you can't speak for the Lord. No matter what training course, no matter what books you have read, if you are not listening to the Lord morning by morning, and if you turned away, if you are rebellious, you can't speak for the Lord. Any training course can help you. Listening to the Lord is a relationship. It's about who you are. Are you having a good relationship with the Lord? The second part. Cleanse and purify. When you listen, the Lord say, oh, you got a dirty hand. You got a dirty face. Clean it with my blood. When you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But when you come close, he will say, cleanse your hands. What you are doing? Are you serving me? Or are you serving yourself? You put the hook in the flesh, in the offering. Oh, I like this. You take it for yourself. What are your hands doing? Is your hand clean? Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your hearts. What is in your heart? You serve the Lord out of lust for your fame or your power. People know you. What is in your heart when you come to serve the Lord? It's not doing good things, serving the Lord. It's what is in your heart. The Lord looks into it. Your heart is not right. There's no service to the Lord. Next, in Numbers, people gathered against Moses and Aaron and said to them, there were a few among them rebelling against Moses and Aaron. You take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself about the assembly of the Lord? Actually, when people say this, it's not true. Why do they say this? They are accusing Moses have ambition themselves. But actually, they want to become priests as well. So they are charging others, for all the congregation is holy. You take too much upon yourself. How about me? There's a bracket not set here. I do want to be like that as well. How come it's always you? Why can't I be the leader? Why do I have to listen to you? I want to be the leader. That's behind all these words. So search your heart. Sometimes you say something to accuse someone, but actually in your heart, there is another story. Come before the Lord. Cleanse your heart. When you are saying, she is no good, that person is no good. Hey, why? Because he has offended you, maybe. Because you are so important. He's not paying you respect. He's not following your way. You get angry with him. You are charging him, but actually, you're trying to be proud yourself. So all this accusation to others, hey, think about it. Is it about you being hurt? Purify your heart. Next part. And this is what happened to them. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. Next part. Formality against reality. The horrible thing is, when we are not listening to the Lord say, hey, you've got a dirty hand, you've got a dirty face, you can't cleanse yourself before you come to stop me. No, it's okay. I can still do my job. And we keep all this sin secretly before men. And then we continue to serve the Lord. That's what happened in the time of Isaiah. So the Lord speak to them, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, all these special assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. We have iniquity. Let's have a meeting. We kept our sins in the meeting. Keep all the sins, your new moons and your appointed feasts. My soul hates that, God said. I hate that. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. Next part. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Yes. Even though you are offering, serving God with your, this is hands full of blood, bloody hands, with sin. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, stop it. Cease to do evil. Don't come to serve God and continue secretly in sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, so often we can do that, isn't it? Ask yourself. There may be sin unconfessed, and yet we came and continue our service, continue serving the Lord. How horrible that is. We can live a life of hypocrite. How horrible this is. Shall we continue like this? No. We can't continue like this. It's not what you do. You may be serving diligently, outwardly. People say you are good. But inwardly, in your heart, there are hates. There are sin, there are pride, there are anger, jealousy. Deal with it. We need to wash ourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings. From before my eyes, cease to do evil. If we are not repenting, stop it. Cease to do evil. Wash yourself. Put away the evil doings. So there will be no true service, no reality of service, if we just keep the formality. Oh, I'm doing this. Eli, 40 years. When people come to him, oh, we bless you. Oh, may the Lord bless you. Oh, he talked really like a priest. Oh, you shouldn't drink that much, Hannah. You shouldn't, when you come to the Lord, you shouldn't get drunk. Oh, sorry, you're praying. He can't tell the difference. This is what kind of priest is that? He can't judge himself. He's good at judging. Oh, Hannah, you shouldn't drink. Oh, sorry, oh, you're praying. Oh, I make a mistake. But he's not good at judging his son. He's not good at judging himself. he's good at judging other people. And yet he served in the Lord for 40 years. He thinks he's good. Lord, I've been so faithful. Not really. That's very annoying to the Lord. 40 years, I can't stand it any longer. Judgment came. So, brothers and sisters, not what you do, but who you are. When you grow, it's not what you do, but your relationship to the Lord. Can you hear the Lord? Do you purify yourself before him? Or you just keep the form, I came to church every Sunday. I even prayed. I even sang in the congregation. Oh, all this formality you kept very well. People say, oh, he's a good Christian. But behind all this, is that true? Is there a reality? Next. Submit to discipline. The most difficult part is self. We want to go our own way. You don't tell me what to do. I want it this way. That's what I think. Oh, the Lord told me to do this. We don't want to listen to others. Even that's why the two sons not listening to the father. They used to live, go their own way. There was no king in Israel. There was no king in my life. I am the biggest one. But in Peter, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit, which is very hard. It is a true test if we want to follow the Lord. Disciple, what does it mean? Training. We need learning. That means we are not perfect. We need teaching. Our lives need to be changed. We need to submit to the master. Submit to all he sent to help us. That's why submit yourself to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. Why is it we are so hard to listen? Because we are proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you are humble enough to learn, if you are humble enough to be corrected, then we can know how to serve him. In Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Now, notice how Timothy followed Paul's example, followed his doctrine, followed the manner of life. Not just the teaching, how he lived, followed, follower. So God set up some more mature Christian to help us. They give us help. If we want to learn how to serve, we can follow. We can submit. It's against us, our inner self. We want to go our own way. But if you want to serve the Lord, you need to listen, submit, and follow. Next. Exodus. It talks about when we are so proud, we don't want to listen. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. There is no king in Israel. The situation is like in Egypt. There is no God in Egypt. I, Pharaoh, am the God. Who is the Lord? I should obey to his voice. This Pharaoh was so rebellious before the Lord. God's judgment came upon him. So behind all this is about, just now I mentioned, Christian journey is about a relationship. But if you are so important, if you think of yourself so great, you're not willing to listen. Who is God? Why should I listen to you? You should follow me. How can we serve God if you want God to follow you? Next, Miriam spoke against Moses. Why? Because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. So they say, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Moses is my younger brother. Without me, Miriam, without I talk to Pharaoh's daughter, Moses will, there will be no Moses at all. So Miriam think she was so important. She was not happy that Moses become the leader. Has he not spoken through to us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. The more you are close to the Lord, there will be a mark, humility. When you always come before the king, you realize how bad you are. You will be humbled. If there's a great scientist standing next to me, and I'm just a BSc graduate from uni, when you say, talk to me, oh, Paul, you're such a good scientist. Well, say, Einstein's standing next to me. Oh, no, don't say that. I'm nothing. Yes, isn't it, Mr. Einstein? How can I be proud if Einstein was standing next to me? I have to always say, yes, oh, I know nothing. I know nothing about physics. But if everyone here is just primary school standard, well, I'm a uni graduate. I can be proud. Oh, I want to talk about it. Oh, you guys know nothing. Sorry, I can't say it. I should make it simple for you guys. So you see, I will be proud. But if Einstein was standing next to me, oh, Mr. Einstein, maybe you shall tell them in your way, isn't it? So if you are close to the Lord, you will be humble. If not, you can see, I'm better than him. I'm better than her. So I have got good reasons to be proud, isn't it? But if you are someone who lives before the Lord, you can't bear people say you are good. Because, well, you know, you say I'm good. No, it's from the Lord. He gives us all. He gives me the words. He taught me. I can't be proud. I got nothing to be boast of. It's because the Lord is here. Next, we skip this. We talk about Moses. He's being faithful. You know, let's go to the next. And reverence and godly fear. When the Lord mentioned that, if you continue like this, the judgment will come to your family. Did Eli take any action? Did he tore his clothes, oh, repent and cry before the Lord, like David lost his son? No, he didn't. He seems to be, has got no fear at all. But in Hebrews, it talked about, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We should have godly fear. A fear which is godly. That is, you are not fearing, oh, what happens to me? Is God going to punish me? Am I good enough? No, the fear is about him. Pleasing God. Have I offended him in any way? This is godly fear. Godly fear is not about what happens to you. Godly fear is afraid of offending the one who is majestic, who is almighty. This is godly fear. When we come to serve the Lord, there's a godly fear. Oh, when Satan says, you are good. You are serving the Lord very well. When you try to be proud, hey, there's a godly fear. No, it's not from me. It's from the Lord. I don't take the glory from the Lord. It's all glory belongs to him. All power belongs to him. All blessings come from him. There's a godly fear. So we need from him, from here we can see there are many things we need to learn. So Christian life is not just the 10 minutes, so in between the weekdays I spend, say 10 minutes a day reading the Bible. Oh, this is my serving the Lord. So your Christian journey is that 10 minutes serving the Lord, and then, oh, to tomorrow another 10 minutes. So in between that 24 hours, you go your own way. No, it's not doing this, doing this, doing this, doing this, doing this. It's continuous. Your relationship, who you are, when you listen to the Lord, cleanse yourself. Oh, this is anger, this is hatred, deal with it. You are not listening to your parents, say you have offended someone, apologize. You are too proud. We have to deal with all this inner thing. The Lord trained your character, trained you, trained us. The person is more important than what he do, what he does. So may the Lord show us to serve him with a single mind, a single heart. Serve him with an undivided heart. Let us sing, undivided. In 2:3:8, give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. Teach me to walk in righteous paths and follow in your ways. Follow in your ways. Not to do things, teach me to walk. Teach me to follow. For you are gracious and forgiving. Hear, O Lord, and answer me. I want to live for you, single-minded. All that I say, all that I do. Sanctify me, take me and make me new, that I might live for Christ my Lord. Undivided. 2:3:8. Let us stand and sing. That I might fear your name. Teach me to walk in righteous paths and follow in your ways. For you are gracious and forgiving. Hear, O Lord, and answer me. Found in serving you. Undivided, I want to live for you. Single-minded, all that I say, all that I do, sanctify me. That I might live for Christ my Lord. An undivided love for all that you desire. Make me a living sacrifice. Ignite in me your. For you, O Lord. I might live for Christ my Lord. Divided, counting my gains as lost, single-minded, whatever the pain, whatever the cost, sanctify me. And live for him who died for me. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that we hear your word and learn from your words. Teach us to serve you. Not doing things, but how to relate to you. Cleanse us, Lord, day by day with your words. Open our ears so we can listen and repent from every sin. Let us turn to you and walk with you. Equip us, Lord, the strength, the desire to serve you. We commit our lives before you, Lord. We pray for those who got baptized recently. Pray that they would not stop, but continue to grow in you, having a close relationship with you, walking close with you day by day. Change our lives, Lord, to please you. You are our master. Teach us to live in a godly fear and love to you. We ask this in the name of our Lord. Amen.